إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue reading from كتاب التوحيد, precisely from الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد, this concise explanation of our noble شيخ العلامة الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللعلماء وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله في كتاب التوحيد, وقال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه: لأن أحلف بالله كاذبا أحب إلي من أن أحلف بغيره صادقا. Then it's still in the same chapter about swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-halifu bi ghayri Allah. He mentioned a statement of the great companion Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, or meaning in English to what Ibn Mas'ud said, for him to swear by Allah on a lie more beloved to him than he swears by other than Allah on something that is true. The meaning of this athar, يقول الشيخ صالح حفظه الله, يقول ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه: إقسامي بالله على شيء أنا كاذب فيه أحب إلي من إقسامي بغير الله على شيء أنا صادق فيه. Pay attention to the statement of Ibn Mas'ud that we just read to you, and now the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, his great companion. And we learn from them, and they are the example for us because we follow their path, their manhaj, the methodology they were upon, in everything, in aqidah, in actions, in how to perform actions of worship. They are our salaf. وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفْ. The good, all good is in adhering to the way of the salaf. He's one of the great companions and scholars of among the Sahaba. He says, for him to swear by Allah, meaning to say, Wallahi, on something that while he's, it's a lie, that thing is a lie, it is more beloved to him than when he swear by other than Allah on something that is true. Okay? On something that is true. Why? Sheikh Fawzan, he says, and pay attention to this, قال وَإِنَّمَا رَجَّحَ الْحَلِفَ بِاللَّهِ كَاذِبًا عَلَى الْحَلِفِ بِغَيْرِهِ صَادِقًا. Keep in mind that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim, they don't lie, and they don't intend to lie. They don't. These are the Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? They adhere to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah to the best of their abilities. Allah gave them that iman and chose them to be the companions of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But He's saying this to to highlight the importance of this matter that we are studying, swearing by other than Allah. Even though to swear by other than Allah on something that is true. For instance, somebody said to him, this is your car. And that's his car. Okay? And he says, by the moon, by the sun and the moon, that's his car. Is he truthful or not?
No.
He is, because that's his car. What is the problem? He swear by the sun and the moon. You see? But another person, no, that's supposed to be the other way. Huh? No, that's the one, that's the right one. The opposite?
You need the opposite.
Now we need now the other example.
You can say the same one.
Somebody who swears by Allah on something that is his...
A lie.
It's a lie. He says, by Allah, this is... He wasn't there, but he was there. Tayyib. So why is this, he says? He says that swearing by Allah on something that is a lie is still better, okay, than swearing by other than Allah on something that is true. قال وإنما رجح الحلف بالله كاذبا على الحلف بغيره صادقا لأن الحلف بالله في هذه الحالة فيه حسن التوحيد وفيه سيئة الكذب. Why? Because in both examples, look, when he says, when he chooses to swear, if he were to swear, by Allah, even though it's a lie, okay? Why? Because in this case, there is hasanat al-tawheed wa sayyat al-kadhib. In this sentence, there is the tawheed, because he said, by Allah. But there is a sin, what is it? Huh? Lying, kadhib. Pay attention to this detail. Because when he said, by Allah, this is mine, but it's not his. A person. Huh? So now he has a good thing, which is hasana, which is tawheed. Because he swear by Allah. That's tawheed. But he has a sayya, which is what? Al-kadhib. Because he lied, he swears on something that is not his, that is not true. وَالْحَلِفُ بِغَيْرِهِ صَادِقًا. When a person swears by other than Allah, even though he's true, he's truthful, he's like saying the truth, but he's swearing by other than Allah. Where is the good and where is the bad in this case? Who can tell me?
It's the opposite.
Huh? Na'am, Ramadan?
Good in telling the truth, bad in the shirk.
Ahsan. So the good, the hasana here, is the truth, telling the truth. But what is the sayyah, what is the bad? It's shirk. You see? So the ulama break it down. Al-wahasanatu al-tawheed a'lamu min hasanati al-sidq. And what is better now? Tawheed or truthful? Or the truth, speaking the truth. Tawheed. وَسَيِّئَةُ الْكَذِبِ أَسْهَلُ مِنْ سَيِّئَةِ الشِّرْكِ. What is less? The sin of lying, or the sin which is shirk? Lying. Lying is bad, is very bad. But compare it with minor shirk, it's still less. And that's the answer of one question last week. Somebody asked, what is more dangerous, minor shirk or major sins, other than major shirk? Minor shirk is dangerous. Because the shaykh, he says, look, سيئة الكذب أسهل من سيئة الشرك. To lie, which is haram, it's a major sin, it's evil. But compared to swearing by other than Allah, which is Shirk what? Asghar. Minor shirk. It's still light, lighter than that, less than that. But this doesn't mean that somebody takes it and says, "Wow, lying is all right then. As long as you don't make shirk, it's okay to lie. Just don't swear by other than Allah. I can't do that." This is not what we learn in here. So you stay away from both. Shirk, asghar, and lying. And you swear by Allah if you want to swear. Whoever wants to swear, let him swear by Allah or be silent. You don't have to swear by other than Allah. Aina. And we learn also to be truthful and speak the truth. Because a person continue to speak the truth, as it came in the sound hadith, and he choose willingly to speak the truth and to be truthful in all his matters until he is written with Allah as a truthful Siddiq. And the opposite, wal-iyadu billah, a person lies and lie and lie and choose to lie in every matter until he is written with Allah as a liar. As Siddiq, as the Prophet ﷺ, he began the hadith by saying that the Siddiq leads to birr. Truthfulness leads you to all types of good. And this birr, which is comprehend all good, leads to the Jannah. As Siddiq yahdi ila al-birr, wal birr yahdi ila al-jannah. Wal kadhib yahdi ila al-fujur, wal fujur yahdi ila al-nar. And he says that lie or lying leads to fujur, all wicked, despicable actions. And those actions lead to the hellfire, wa'iyadu billah. So this is clear, right? Aina. مناسبة الأثر للباب أنه يدل على تحريم الحلف بغير الله. Sheikh explained to us the reason why Sheikh al-Islam, al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى, he brought this author of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, one of the proofs in this chapter. He said, because it's a proof that it's forbidden to swear by other than Allah. To swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the benefits of this author of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, أولا تحريم الحلف بغير الله. It is strictly forbidden to swear by other than Allah. We don't swear by other than Allah. We learn not to fall into this mistake. And also we pay attention if we hear others around us that may fall into this mistake, and we correct them, inshallah, bid dalil. Because people swear by other than that. People swear by the blood, swear by the life of their mothers and fathers. Swear by what? Tell me. By their children.
The mother's grave.
By the mother's grave.
Swear my firstborn, stuff like that.
They swear by I don't know what. Their firstborn baby, huh?
Yeah.
By the prophet, yes. People swear by the prophet. People swear by what?
Their life.
By their life, by the Kaaba. Okay, so these are, they swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we pay attention and try to correct the people, inshaAllah ta'ala, and help them and assist them to be upon Tawheed. Okay? ثانيا أن الشرك الأصغر أعظم من كبائر الذنوب كالكذب ونحوه من الكبائر. Here is the answer to that question that somebody has asked yesterday for last week. But that's yesterday. It's not tomorrow or something, right? Last week, Aina Abdullah. That minor shirk is greater and more dangerous than major sins, such as lying and the like, from the major sins. Okay? Just because it is called minor, the ulama, they call it minor compared to the major one. There is nothing minor about it, like, oh, minor is light, ain't nothing. No. It's dangerous, more dangerous than, and greater than the major sins. I know. And we are commanded to avoid all sins, major and minor, especially the major sins. As for minor sins, that's very difficult for a person to really Stay away from every single one of them. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ Except from those that Allah have mercy on them and aid them and protect them. May Allah make us from them. Ameen. To stay away from major sins, because it's easy. Especially when a person is away from circles of knowledge, away from the ulama, the bi'a, the surrounding he work in, he lives in, the people he interact with daily, they have a great impact on his manhaj. Person go to work and nothing but people lying, gossip, backbite, astaghfirullah today, astaghfirullah tomorrow, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah. For you know it slowly, but he may be doing the same thing because the environment play a role. But that's why a person, that's why you hear the ulama fatawa, you gotta choose where you work and this and that. It's like being around the person who's painting a wall in red and you have a white t-shirt. You know what I'm saying, Yannis, yeah? Alright, so maybe the first day people still see you from far, right? What they say? The brother who's wearing what? The white t-shirt. But the one who's close to that person, what he see on him? He's still a white t-shirt, but what he see on it? Some spots. Red spots. Some of them. If that person, because that person just was passing by that person who's painting. But if he spent 8 hours with him, what's going to happen? They're going to say the man who wearing the red t-shirts, right? Right or wrong? Yeah, that's the guy. And then they say, hey, you wearing a red t-shirt. That's not me. I never bought a red t-shirt. I don't wear red stuff. So yeah, you have it. Oops. Where did that come from? Hanging around what? Wrong people. No, anybody who's painted is wrong people. No, that's not the point. The painter maybe is a good person. So anyway, now just saying that an example, a person, mashallah, is upon Tawheed, Sunnah, manhaj al-Salaf, alhamdulillah, mindful, but then you hang around people who are upon shirk, upon dalal, backbiting, no akhlaq, no manners. Slowly but shortly, subhanAllah, may put an impact on that person. That's why you gotta be careful where you work, where you study, where you go, where you live, who are your companions, who are your friends, who are the people you spend more time to, you open your ears to. You gotta close your ears. The Salaf, they used to go places, they close their ears like this. Until they pass that area. Why? They said, I want nothing to go through my ears to my heart and sit there and wonder how I'm gonna do to get it out. But a person just go to the most corrupt place, sit down, I don't know, in some Dunkin' Donut, in some coffee shop, even though a Muslim shop. But who's in there in that coffee shop? People doing, they're not reading Quran, reviewing Sahih al-Bukhari. They're watching a big TV with haram and sitting there talking all crazy talk. And then the person's like, I'm just going to sit here, sip my coffee, take it home. Is there coffee or the tea really going to taste better sitting in there than you go home? No, you go home. You don't sit in an environment like that. Just as an example. You don't sit in an environment like that. You take it somewhere else. It's better for you. Aynam. Some people, they go, for example, I don't know, it's like they want to get something to eat. For example, where they want to go to IHOP, for instance. But what's in IHOP? Oh, I'm going for some pancakes. Okay, mashallah, good. But sitting there and spending 45 minutes eating the pancake, well, that's the only thing you were eating? What about the eyes? There's women passing by. How you doing? You need anything else? Stop going through your ear. People laughing in here next to you. Women over there, I don't know what they're doing. Two men, if they are men over there, I don't know what they're doing. And what they're talking about. All that stuff. And before you finish your first pancake, well, a whole of lot of other stuff is getting into your mind. You see? The Muslim should protect himself. You know? Especially in our times, man. Pancakes, you can buy them in Walmart, cooked, frozen bag, or put them in a toaster, or I don't know, just let them there for a minute, and they are right there. They come with the syrup and everything. So, for real, now we're learning this so we can protect ourselves. You're going to go to these areas to eat the pancake, and then you come with a lot of things. Some shubha in your heart, some doubt, some desire. You've seen a lot of things that you don't supposed to be seeing. Okay? Naina. Of course, as an example, there is so many other things. Somebody want to go to a mall. They have no business to go to a mall. And they just want to go and on Saturday or Friday night. Why a Muslim upon Tawheed really want to go to a mall on Friday night or Saturday night? You know how the malls are there, right? How they be? Why? Well, I'm going to go check something new. You're going looking for trouble. You want to stay away from those malls, man. Unless it's something important, something you want to buy, cannot be found except in one store, and that store in the whole area is only in that mall. But it's like a life and death situation. Like you have this baby who's in asthma, respirator, whatever, he ran out of that Albuterol, whatever they call it, right? Albuterol? From the asthma. Huh? Albuterol, the medicine. You're the only one. You're not going to say, I'm not going to go there. No, this is important now. But you go, lower your gaze, you know where the store is. You don't say, well, after you get them, let me go check around. No, you go straight, get it and get out of there. A lot of people, they go shopping, and they don't know the etiquettes of protecting themselves from some other merchandise that's going to stick in their eyes, in their mind, and in their hearts. Now, you know the aisles of milk. You go straight to the milk in Walmart. And you go straight, get what you want, get out of there. And you spend like 15 minutes going around Walmart. Why? You're gonna come to something that you don't want to come across to. So it's very important. And besides, when I mentioned the example of IHOP, me personally, I don't like to eat on those places where they sell pork and also they display music and the like. Sometimes, if you have to, then you do that, but it is very important for the people to it's not about the pancake that is haram or something. It's halal, alhamdulillah. It's okay, and some eggs. But look at the environment. Environment that you're going to eat those eggs and those pancakes. They display music. Then it's mixing men and women. And who knows, they sell pork in there too. And keep in mind, that same grill that they put your eggs on, you, maybe they just picked up those bacons out of there and put your eggs on that. Some brothers say, oh, now we know the manager, and the manager, he tell the cook, and the cook tell the spatula. Yeah, right. A chain of narrations. He will give you the chain of how the pancake is cooked, but he don't give you a chain of the hadith, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyah. Don't know who narrate the hadith, but he's going to tell you, no, no, look, this eggs in here, it was cooked by this Tony. But Tony, his supervisor, Tanya, said to him to clean the spatula. Okay? Because the manager, we know him, but he's in vacation. All right. Why you have to go through all that? Me personally, I advise my brothers not to go to those places. And some people sometimes they invite me, said, let's go to IHOP or this. I tell them, look, man, I don't go there. And I explain to them why. I explain to them the reason why. Because it's not right. There's music, mixing, pork, these people, they sell pork, and the like. So, I just want to say that, inshallah ta'ala, we're talking about that. ثالثاً جواز ارتكاب أقل الشرين ضرراً إذا كان لا بد من أحدهما. And of course, I'm not saying, nobody say, well, Muhammad say, I have is haram. It's a major shirk. I'm not saying that. I hope I made myself clear. I just tell you, This is what I advise and this is what I do personally. Okay? As for is it permissible to eat in that place or not, that's another question. Okay? I just give you the facts. People, they cook pork, music is displayed, the room is mixed with you don't know who, and then it is not a conducive environment for a Muslim. Shaykh Muqbil Rahimahu Ta'ala, he says, the condition of the hearts, you gotta protect your heart. You go some places and you come back really in bad shape because of what you've been hearing, what you've been seeing and looking at. So a person gonna go and eat, but then he's gonna hurt his heart. The condition of his heart come with a lot of things, and day by day, week after week, that's how a person become weak. So you avoid these things. It's not like that's the only restaurant and you're in a desert. If you don't eat there, you're gonna die. That's different. Now there is food everywhere you go, alhamdulillah. It's from the rahmah of Allah. The benefit number three, it says, it is permissible to commit the less of the two evils. If you don't have no other choice, you're faced with two evils, which you do now, you choose the lesser of the both. That's why the ulama, he says, the faqih, the one who really has fiqh and sound understanding, is not the one who knows the good from the bad. You see? That's not the real person who have sound understanding, the one who knows, oh, this is good, this is bad. No, it's the one who knows the best of the two goods and the worst of the two evils. That's the one who really has understanding. When he's faced with two goods, he chooses the better one. Okay? And when he's faced with evil, he chooses the lesser of the two. Ayna. And this is a qa'idah, this is a very important principle. Number four, diqqa to fiqh ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. This author highlight the fiqh. Subhanallah, the deep understanding of this companion radiallahu anhu. وعن حذيفة, the last proof. وعن حذيفة radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء فلان, ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله ثم شاء فلان. الحديث خرجه أبو داود وأحمد في المسند رحمهم الله بسند صحيح. وجاء عن إبراهيم النخعي أنه يكره أن يقول الرجل أعوذ بالله وبك, ويجوز أن يقول بالله ثم بك. قال ويقول لولا الله ثم فلان, ولا تقول لولا الله وفلان. الحذيفة رضي الله عنه, he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not say whatever Allah wills and so wills. Rather say whatever Allah will than what other person will. Also on Ibrahim al-Nakhi, one of the great scholars of the Salaf, he mentioned that he disliked that person. But here when he say he disliked, but as the Shaykh Fawzani explained, قَالْ يُرَادُ بِهَا التَّحْرِيمِ, that is forbidden. And that's why it's very important to know the mustalahat. When the ulama, they use some terms, it is not always like what we know of those terms. So here, yes, yukrah, which is disliked usually, but now here it means haram, it's forbidden. So he said that it's forbidden for a person to say, I seek refuge with Allah and you. And you see? That's the problem. And. Wa. Rather, he says, it's permissible to say, I seek refuge with Allah, then you, like your protection, whatever you can do for me. But you don't put a person with Allah. And also, it is permissible to say, has it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help for me? Then, this so-and-so, then. And do not say, has it not been for Allah and so-and-so. And this is something that people do. He's stranded in a highway, car broke down, I don't know. And then Allah sent him help, Allah.
You see? Because the person he died, I don't know what, he called somebody. And that somebody came. Who sent that somebody? And that call, how that call went through? SubhanAllah. But then this person said, oh, SubhanAllah, he's going to come, start talking about it. Akhi, SubhanAllah, man, I went through some hardship last night. SubhanAllah, has it not been for a brother, so and so? I'll be done. You see? That's not right. We have to correct our tongues and what we pay attention to what we say. Has it not been for this brother here? I'm gone. And this and that. No, it says, has it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah is the one who makes things easy. And the matter is in His hand. Al-ma'na al-ijma'i al-hadith, the general meaning, yinha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an ya'tif asma. أن يعطف اسم المخلوق على اسم الخالق بالواو بعد ذكر المشيئة ونحوها لأن المعطوف بها يكون به يكون مساويا للمعطوف عليه المعطوف به يكون مساويا للمعطوف عليه لكونها إنما وضعت لمطلق الجمع فلا تقضي ترتيبا ولا تعقيبا وتسوية المخلوق بالخالق الشرك. Here in this hadith, in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ forbid the atf. Then the person mentioned along with Allah a creature, one of the creatures of Allah, by using the waw al atf. This is called the waw. So, after the mashi'ah. Why? Because if you do it this way, it says, this is because of Allah and so on. Akhi, how you got here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this good brother right there cannot get me. Now you're putting that person along with Allah in the same level. Allah and him. You say that, okay? So because now you're he said tasviyatul makhluq bil khaliq. Putting Allah or the creature, the one who's been created, along with the creator, that's shirk. ويجوز صلى الله عليه وسلم عطف المخلوق على الخالق بثم. Rather, it is permissible to say that, and instead of the well is ثم, instead of and is then after. Okay. لكونه صار تابعا والأثر المروي عن النخعي يفيد ما أفعله الحديث. Because when you say then, now, the whatever that person did to you, it just is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, is from Allah. You say, has it not been for Allah, then this person came. Because if Allah didn't want that person to come, that person never came. Or maybe that person coming to help you because you have flat tire, maybe he got an accident, now he's in an ER. It could happen. He's coming to help someone with a flat tire, and he's in the ER. Okay, so now that person, he's going to go and visit him in the hospital. So we have to learn once again to pay attention to what we say. He says the author of Imam al-Nakhai, he benefits us the same way. قال ويختص هذا الحكم هو العود بالمخلوق بالمخلوقين الأحياء الذين لهم قدرة دون الأموات والعاجزين فلا يجوز أن يسند إليهم شيء. Now it's very important to pay attention to this condition. He said it is permissible to say has it not been for Allah then so and so. If that so and so is alive and able to help you. You see? So therefore it is not permissible for someone to say, has not been for Allah and so on, he mentions someone who's dead. Or he mentions someone who cannot help. You know what I'm talking about? It's like someone, for example, like this is a refutation to the people who worship graves and righteous people, for example. This is has not been for Allah and Al-Hussein,
Abu Qadr.
Or Abdul Qadr al-Jailani, those who worship these people. Abdul Qadr al-Jailani, by the way, he was a righteous man upon the Sunnah. But the people, they lied against him and fabricated a lot of lies, and they worship him and they call him, they call upon him besides Allah. So they cannot say that by Allah, has it not been for Allah, then Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, because Abdul Qadir al-Jailani cannot do anything for these people, he's dead. He has to be here, somebody. And also, can a person, he may say, has it not been for Allah, and this brother so-and-so, and this brother so-and-so, where he at? He's in Saudi Arabia, and the person is in Georgia, in America. It's different if he send him some money over there, some money gram, Western Union. But if somebody just stopped by someone's house and the man, he just finished removing this big rock. And he says, Akhi, subhanAllah, finally you get it. MashaAllah. And then he says, had it not been for Allah and the brother in Medina. He's like, brother in Medina? You mean Medina restaurants? MashaAllah, he went to eat lunch or what? No, Medina is Saudi. Well, how he helped you? Well, you don't know, brother. I know, brother, mashallah, Allah gave him some things. Can't do that. The man is right there. Also, he said that person, he has to be alive and he has to be able to help. Someone who is, I don't know, old man, sick, cannot do anything, you cannot say, has not been for Allah and then this good brother right here. That good brother, he can't do anything. So he has to be able as well. مناسبة الحديث والأثر للباب, the relevance of this hadith and the أثر, أنهما يدلان على النهي عن قول ما شاء الله وشاء فلان ونحو ذلك, لأنه من اتخاذ الأنداد لله الذي نهت عنه الآية التي في أول الباب على ما فسرها به ابن عباس. Both the hadith and the أثر of الإمام النخعي رحمه الله are a proof that is strictly forbidden to say whatever Allah wills and so wills. And the like of those expressions that run in the mouth of certain people. Because this is taking partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the ayah, the first ayah, if you remember the ayah in the in the beginning of the chapter in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah make it forbidden to ascribe partners with Him and equals to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is explained by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. ما يستفاد من الحديث تحريم قول ما شاء الله وشئت وما أشبه ذلك من الألفاظ مما فيه العطف على الله بالواو لأنه من اتخاذ الأنداد لله. Number one, from the benefits, it is strictly forbidden to say ما شاء الله وشئت, whatever Allah wills and what you will, and whatever and the like of these expressions and statements, because by doing that, using the well, setting partners and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب جواز ثانيا جواز قول ما شاء الله ثم شئت وما أشبه ذلك مما فيه العطف على الله بثم الانتفاء المحذور فيه. However, it is permissible to say ما شاء الله ثم, not what. Whatever Allah wills, then. Okay? How you get this? It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this brother came, mashallah. It's not like always the brother first, or Allah and the brother, both of these things are not permissible. I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this brother came, mashallah, he helped, jazakallahu khairan. Now, and you thank them. You thank Allah first, but also it is, we learn the Sunnah to thank the people as well. As the Prophet ﷺ says, لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهَ مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ. The one, he does not thank Allah, the one who does not thank the people. So now you thank the people too, but you gotta thank Allah first, and you gotta believe this is Tawheed, that whatever happened to you is from Allah. So your heart does not be attached to that person who gave you a ride every morning. Now your heart should be attached to Allah. Now you thank the brother, but now if the heart is always touched to that person, he's upon bid'ah, what are you going to do? May still go with him because of that. No, your heart has to be attached to Allah. Meaning, whatever, this is Tawheed, this is the benefits of Tawheed. Now that person is helping you by Allah's will. So if something happened, that person go the other side, take an exit, you don't follow him. No, you make dua for him that he can come back. So you don't feel in any way whenever you see that person, you humble now in front of him because he giving you something here and you humble yourself. Now you humble yourself for Allah. You respect the people because they help you out by Allah's will. But you don't humble yourself whenever you see someone because he helped you out to pay a debt, to pay a rent, give you a car, give you a, I don't know what. Now all of a sudden, whenever you see him, the brother, and you act nicely in front of him. No, these things are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. ثالثا إثبات المشيئة لله وإثبات المشيئة للعبد وأنها تابعة لمشيئة الله تعالى. نعم. This hadith affirmed the will of Allah for Allah because nothing happened without Allah's will, but also affirms that the servant has a will too. But that the will of the servants depends on Allah's will. Can never be. So in servant can never will something that Allah does not will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yes, this is very important, this is a refutation against the Qadariya, Al-Jabriya, those who they say, look man, the people have no choice, they are forced to do these things. I mean, the one who don't pray, he's forced not to pray. The one who drink alcohol, he knows alcohol, but he's forced, he's a servant. Everything is decided by Allah. No, this is not how it is understood. Allah give us a will to choose. The same way that same person, he choose to stop in the red light. And he choose to stop when he hear the train coming. He ain't gonna go and stop right there on the railroad. Okay? And he stop at the big hill. It's like he's paying attention when he's going on the curves. Huh? He see the sign 25 miles, he's going 15. Why? Because he's 5,000 feet up. And if he knows he make the wrong turn, what happened? Why that person don't just go straight over the cliff and say, hey, that's where Allah the wills are. I'm forced to go through this cliff. No one in his right mind do that. But now when it comes to following their desires, oh, because of Allah will, brother. No, it doesn't work like that. So people, they have to learn what is good for them and act upon it. And to learn what is bad, stay away from it. Inshallah. تعالى هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا